When we began to look in chapter 3 a couple of months ago, I said that we would come to see Paul explaining to the Colossian Christians how are they to live. Right? They're a new man. How are they to live? And so verse after verse, as we've gone in further into chapter 3, Paul is admonishing these Christians to live in the Spirit, right? To walk according to Christ. All of these admonitions, commands, all of them are aimed at one chief end, that your life in the days of the Colossians, that our life today would be more conformed or more reflective of Jesus Christ. That's what he's dealing with in chapter 3. And recently we saw this in the beautiful picture of garments, right? That the Christian, in a sense, has a picture of wearing garments. They're wearing Christ, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, to walk as he walked, to be as he was. And that's been where we have been these last few times. We saw the greatest or the most exquisite of all these garments or these fruits is what? Love. Love. But Paul keeps going. I mean, I had said to us in chapter 3, he just keeps going. He gets into more and more how we live, how we follow Christ, and how we reflect his glory. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 will be our verse today. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let me read it again. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye were called or are called in one body. And be ye thankful. I'm going to quote to you just a few pages earlier what Paul said to the Ephesian Christians, very similar to this, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let me pray. Father, thank you again for the Bible, the Word of God. This letter is one part of the Holy Scriptures, this letter to the Colossians Christians, and a letter that's full of the glory of your Son and what it means to be in Christ as a new man. Lord, help us to go onward with you. Draw us today more and more to behold and stand in awe and yield ourselves to these truths, these fruits of your Spirit in us. Help us, Lord, every one of us, for the glory of your Son, we ask. Amen. Through the centuries, men have loved competition in sporting events. And in various cultures, even today throughout the world, men love sport. I mean, there's all kinds of sports. There's things we've never even seen or played, right? But all of those kinds of sporting events require an umpire or a referee, right? I mean, you just can't have just competition just without some boundaries, without somebody regulating, right? So there's usually a referee. I am going somewhere with this. Trust me. I'm trying to set the truth before you so that we understand how we walk together. But nobody really likes the referee. They announce the starting players, announce the starting players, and then they say, and the referee's nobody. Nobody says, that's my uncle down there. He's the referee. Nobody. Nobody likes the referee. I got home last night, or when we got home, Jalen got home from her basketball tournament. Almost the first words out of her mouth, the referees were horrible. Y'all can talk to her afterwards about that. I didn't even tell her what I was going to be on today. I just thought, how appropriate. My dad used to referee when he was a young married man to pick up extra money, and he would tell my brother and I about it. And I was kind of embarrassed by it. What is my dad being a referee? Oh, come on, Dad. Isn't that funny? Nobody wants their dad to be a referee. Your dad's an IT specialist or a banker or a lawyer or something or a school teacher. But nobody says, oh, my dad's a ref. Nobody. But why? Why is that? I mean, the referee keeps things under control. They regulate emotions. Just ask KD. He's been sitting out a lot here lately. Regulate people's emotions or say, if you can't, then you need to be removed. And referees keep conflicts from getting bad. And those all sound pretty good to me, don't they? These are good. So I ask us again, shouldn't we like the referee? I promise you, somebody's going to go see a sporting event here in the next week or month or something, and they're going to smile and think to themselves, I need to have a higher view of what that referee's there to do. That's a good point to think about for you. Now, what are you, you're thinking, Philip, where in the world are you going with this? What does all this have to do with Colossians 3:15? It has a whole lot to do with Colossians 15. Trust me. Paul uses language here, a word here, a truth here, connecting peace to the Christian people, the community, that's a word that's not used anywhere else like this in the New Testament. It's the word rule, regulate. And we'll get to that. But Paul is talking about this principle that would rule in us together in his people. He's talking about this corporately, just like he was talking about love in the previous verse. He's giving us, he's giving the Colossians, but he's giving us a living admonition that's true today as much as it was for the Colossians. It's true to us to be at peace with one another. That's what he's saying. That's the theme of this whole admonition here. Again, one after another, after another, after another. And let peace, let the peace of Christ or the peace of God rule in your hearts. He is telling us corporately to have peace. And he's using language here that reflects the picture or the example of a referee or an umpire. Oh, I'm going to say by the end of this time, I'll try to move along here, but by the end of this time, I think you're going to like this referee right here, what Paul is telling us, what he told the Colossians. They would have understood the language of what he was talking about. Beloved, it's a beautiful truth that he is giving the Christian people through the ages. It's something that regulates our friendships, our bond, our body life together is here in the text. So let's be encouraged together in this as we grow in grace together. We are his people. So go back to verse 15. Paul gives an admonition or a command. It's really that strong. He's not implying that these things are optional. You know, I think that Eric and Darius, they might ought to try some of these things. No. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that all of you in Colossae, all of you in this Denton church, should walk in this truth. And let the peace of Christ, that's what it says in most translations today, or the peace of God, they're one and the same. Ultimately, they're saying the same. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now, right on the heels of love, the command about love, Paul keeps going, keeps the momentum going about this emphasis of unity, connectedness. We talked about this in the theme of love, keeping it connected, very healthy in our connection. And he's dealing with this theme of unity within the Christian community, in the local body as well as in the universal body and how we relate to other Christians. But Paul is exhorting now about peace. He's talked about love. Now he adds to this. Peace, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, is how he says it. Now, it's important for us to try to just see quickly the difference between peace that you have as an individual Christian because of the redeeming work of Christ in your life versus peace that we have corporately. This is a key thing about understanding the full impact of what Paul's saying here. Paul acknowledges or knows that every Christian, by the grace of the miracle of the new birth, has peace with God. They've been delivered from enmity with God, and now they're in a relationship of peace because Christ has brought them near or brought them nigh unto God, right? We are sons and daughters. That's not the emphasis here that Paul's elaborating on. That's given. That's understood. We are, by the very nature of being a new creation or a new man, one with him. There is unity. There is peace with God. But that, as true as that is, that's not the thrust of what he's saying here. He's not saying to you and I individually, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. meaning you have it separately. You hang on to it. You grow in it, though it is a truth in the New Testament. That's not the thrust of what he's saying here. He's using it corporately. It's like love. Love has action to it. It's expressed. It's shown. It's lived out together. And so does peace. I mean, all men that go hide themselves away can live in peace, per se, because they don't have to deal with anybody. Right? But Paul is talking about corporate Christian to Christian peace. I want us to really get hold of this from the beginning. He is talking about maintaining something that is within all of us. And Paul uses this phrase, let the peace of God or the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. This peace. Let's pause on this phrase, this truth. We have been brought into a kingdom of peace, right? Some of the things that Lee was talking about earlier in the study about God has great joy in himself and he has joy in his people. We've been brought into a kingdom of joy. We've been brought into a kingdom of peace. It's what Paul is getting at here is, let this peace of Christ, what you've been brought into, let it grow or let it be expressed and kept, maintained within all of you. Not just you individually, but how you walk in that with a fellow brother and sister in the faith. What is the peace? What is this peace? What is he trying to tell you and I or those Colossian Christians that came from, well, their background, they were Greek or they were Jewish, they were bond or they were free, right? What was he, barbarian, those phrases he uses are, what was he trying to tell all of them? He's trying to tell them all that you've been brought into a kingdom of peace, meaning we have it together. We possess it together. We're in something that's different than where we were before. We were not in a kingdom of peace. This world around us and everything about it is not a kingdom of peace. Never has been, never will be. There's one kingdom of peace. It's those that are in Jesus Christ. The peace of God that we have been partakers of because of the redeeming work of Christ. That's what he's getting at. He's trying to tell these believers collectively, that's what you have together. You're in a fellowship, a community of peace. Think of this. If he's emphasizing this phrase, the peace of Christ, you've been joined to a Savior who relates to his people in what way? Peacefully. Jesus Christ does not relate to his people in striving. That's a truth. Even in the book of Revelation, when he's correcting the churches, he's correcting them as people that are his, that he has ownership, that they're his. The churches are his. So they're brought into a kingdom, the Colossians and the Denton Christians, that is a kingdom of peace. It's not a kingdom of strife. What else about this peace of God, this kingdom here that I'm using that word? You're a part of a new kingdom where you relate to others in peace. Not in conflict. Right? His kingdom, your companionship with each other is based upon a kingdom of the great Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Right? That's what he's getting at here. See, if we don't see this properly, we may say, I want to grow in the peace of God in me. I just want to go to work tomorrow with peace. I want to deal with family members around Christmas in peace. I want to have peace in how I view my money and being careful about it. I want to have peace. Yeah, that's good. Those are all biblical things. You should long for those things. That's not the emphasis here, though. The peace of God in your hearts is plural. It's with each other. It's abiding with one another in a kingdom of peace. It's beautiful. The Lord Jesus Christ said in the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, or those who are about peace, because what? They shall be called the children of God. Beloved, if we're going to get these truths right and see how these regulate relationships with each other, we need to understand what he's emphasizing here. We are in a kingdom with the great Prince of Peace, and therefore we should maintain and sustain that. That should regulate, referee us in all things that we do with each other. That's where he's going. So the peace of God, the peace of Christ, that's what we're supposed to have, and we do have together, collectively. But he says that it's to rule in our hearts, plural. Not you individually, but us in relationships, because the rest of the sentence, the rest of the verse tells us that. We're called into one body. It's shared in. Ruled. He wants it to rule in our hearts. This is where we're getting back to this picture of the referee. What rules your relationships with others? It's a good question, isn't it? What rules it? I'm talking about particularly within the Christian fellowship of brother to brother, husband to wife, friend to friend. What rules? What regulates? What sets the boundaries? What inspires you to talk about or to stay away from? It may have a radical shift in some of your thinking today when some of you leave. Because he says, let the peace of Christ, let the kingdom of his people and his peace and non-enmity, non-conflict, non-hatred, non-violence, it goes on and on, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, let that rule in y'all as a people. That's what he's saying. Let it regulate you. Let it own you. Let it lead you. Man, it's beautiful. It's the only time that this particular Greek word in the New Testament is used. And it's translated, this word rule that we get in the English, and I think it's all the same, NASB, ESV, uses the word rule, King James. It translates a Greek verb that refers to the activity of a referee or an umpire. And they're controlling things. Paul is using a word about the peace of Christ, whose we are in Christ together. He's saying, let that regulate everything that you're about. What a way of putting it. The Colossians would have understood the language of that Greek word that Paul's talking about. Something has to control how you view each other, how you talk to each other, how you care for each other, how you stay away from the wrong kinds of conflict. Let no man judge you in meat and drink, things like that. Let peace with God, peace that you have in Christ Jesus, let that rule you. Let it regulate. It's a beautiful picture he's giving here. The connotation is control. Would people today in here view you as a peaceful person? The people you work around? Are you a striving person? Men, I ask ourselves questions sometimes as men. Do men think of you as a contentious man or a man who knows how to labor with wisdom towards peace? Fair question. Paul says the Christian community should be marked or regulated by peace. They walk in peace. Oh, this is beautiful. I mean, when the Lord Jesus speaks of peace, you just go home today if you want to. Just look up all the references to peace in the New Testament. The Lord Jesus speaking about peace. You get out of the Gospels and you start getting into the epistles. And peace, speaking of peace. It's beautiful. It's necessary. It's one of the central truths of the Christian community. Because the world is trying to find peace. They have wars, supposedly, so at the end of those wars, men will live in peace. And it doesn't happen. And bubbles are bursted, and hatred continues, and cruelty. But Paul says, let this kingdom of peace, the peace that you have with Jesus Christ, let that regulate or rule in your hearts, meaning together. Beautiful, beautiful truth that can transform the growth in relationships together. I never will forget 10 years ago or so when Mac preached at Bentley, and he preached on brotherly love and brotherly, the bond. And I remember him saying, and I laughed. I guess I probably shouldn't have laughed out loud. I was one of few. He said, we all do great here over the weekend at the Bentley camp. Everybody does great at the fellowship camp. He said, because you don't have to dwell with each other. So you don't have to go back and live with each other and get along with each other. And isn't that true? It is true. Paul is speaking about something that's ruling in us and over us so that it keeps us in harmonious relationships. Oh, beloved, the peace of God that you're a partaker of is the very thing that is to govern all of your encounters and interactions with a brother or sister in the faith. You're to maintain that. You're to preserve that. All right, I've said it. I've said it in various ways, just trying to elaborate on what Paul is emphasizing here. But think of this. The Apostle Paul knows that believers are very capable of disputes. that they have schisms, that they have disagreements, that they have hard things come up. Paul had to deal with some of those things with some of the very choice men in the New Testament, right? He had a falling out with John Mark. He had to confront Peter. Schisms, difficulties, disagreements come. What are you going to do? Are you going to tuck tail and leave and go get in a car and drive off and go find a different church? It's a fair question. Beloved, Christians throughout all of the ages have to labor to give their hearts in humility to maintain peace. Because Jesus Christ's kingdom is a kingdom of peace for His people. Oh my, how applicable is this kind of teaching within the Christian community? Yes, disputes and schisms and disagreements come. Some of the most beautiful marriages that you'll ever see, they'll say to, yes, we've had difficulties. But that doesn't mean that you become worldly and cruel and walk away. It means that you grow in grace together. Oh, such a picture here for us to get hold of. So when Paul, in his own way, acknowledging that those things can happen, we see it in other letters, but he's saying, but peace is to rule. Peace is to regulate. Peace, the peace of Jesus Christ, is to be what keeps things growing and healthy and precious to each other. Let peace rule you. That's the greater truth. Therefore, those of you sitting there listening today, when you relate to others, give consideration in your heart of what will promote and preserve peace with another brother or sister. Before you write an email, before you make a phone call, before you share something, think about, be mindful about what promotes or maintains and regulates peace. You'll hear somebody say it every now and then about a sporting event. The referee finally had to get things under control. Yes, they do. And people that get, athletes that get out of bounds and violate the rules and become out of control, they have to be brought back in. They have to be regulated. They get technicals. They get put in the penalty box. I'm not a hockey guy. They get put in the penalty box. It's a picture. Then they come back. The peace of Jesus Christ should be the air that we're breathing together and walking in. What promotes peace? How do you view that? Now, I've said enough. My words are very, very frail. Let me read to you just a few of the New Testament verses. If you want to, you can just flip the pages. Let's just let the Word of God triumph gloriously, as always, on these things. The Lord Jesus said to His men, to those who were followers of His, true followers, Mark chapter 9, verse 50, Jesus says, have or maintain peace one with another. There it is. It starts with the great Prince of Peace in the Gospels. Maintain peace. I think if I understand my language right here, these are active verbs. This is something we have to be about. Maintain it. Preserve it. The Lord Jesus, the captain of us all, the great Redeemer, great Savior, the God-man, saying to us, have or maintain peace. Paul commanded to the Roman, his command to the Roman Christians. Romans 14:19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. The things which make for peace. If you have a conflict in the next month or the next few weeks or sometime in the coming days, and it's a conflict with somebody you love and cherish as a brother or sister in the faith, think of that verse. Before you have perhaps words or disagreements, try to find reconciliation by the grace of the kingdom of peace, what it means to have peace. Follow after it. Follow after those things. Be about those things which make for peace. I don't bring up certain topics with other Christians because they just may differ. They may differ. I mean, we tend to really grind our axe at times about our own convictions and preferences. I'm just being honest with you. I think I got enough miles on me now just to say that. If you just go off on something, and I mean, it's all about this one thing, you got to be careful. You may just, along the way, just wound unnecessarily or imply that somebody else is not nearly as pure or as holy as you are. Be careful. Follow after the things which make for peace. That's what Paul said. Paul said to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, remember he gives us a quick list. At the end or at part of that list he says, finally, brethren, live in peace. This is corporate. This is a Christian body. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Wow. Live in peace. And the peace of God, or the love of God and the peace of God shall be with you. Don't we want that? Boy, I do. And then to the Thessalonians, Paul continues. It's very much central, if you want to use that word, or it's certainly part of Paul's continued admonitions through all of his epistles. And he says almost exactly what the Lord Jesus said, and be at peace among yourselves. That doesn't mean for me to go home by myself today and say, oh, I sure have a lot of peace by myself. It means I'm to dwell with my beloved wife, Krista, in peace. It means I'm to relate to my fellow elders with humility in preserving peace. It means I'm to relate to you. If I come in, or Lee, or Jeff, or Matt, come in for a pastoral visit, I don't come in with a list to try to go after somebody. But come in maintaining, preserving peace, truth, love. It's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It is a kingdom of peace. It ought to shock the world around us when we walk that way. Because they'll say, that's not human. How did they get there? How do they do that? Come and see. Come to Jesus Christ. And you will understand. You talk about a beautiful referee within the Christian life. It's the kingdom, or the King of Peace, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, teaching us to keep it and regulate all things based in peace. Boy, this is powerful. This makes you appreciate the man wearing the uniform that's an umpire or referee. Ah, there's something bigger here. That's preaching to me. It's telling me that there is a regulation that occurs in the kingdom of God's people that is quite wonderful and helpful. Think of this, beloved. When this referee, when this great regulator is among us, it will keep respect with each other. Respect. We come from different backgrounds. We have different places, different socioeconomic experiences in our past or currently. We have different family members, different parts of the country we may be from, different parts of the world. But there's just one people in Christ Jesus. And so this thing of peace with each other will keep a proper respect, a proper honor to each other. It will restrain us from hurts and offenses. Right? It will. Like I said, if you think about, well, wait a minute, what could preserve peace? It'll help you think more clearly in how to relate to somebody. And I promise you, when this principle of peace is regulating your thinking and our thinking together, it'll preserve unity and closeness. It will preserve that. Giving a quick glimpse of one of the beautiful pictures of this, I'm going to read an excerpt from Hudson Taylor's life. In some ways, it may whet the appetite for some things I would like to read and share with the men tonight from his life. But Hudson Taylor, obviously, in doing the great missionary work in China in the 1800s, he labored with others. He labored with other Christians. Eventually, as God raised up more and more laborers, they were laboring together. They were functioning as a connected people in Christ in a land that had a lot of turmoil. And so, what happens when conflict set in? Well, Hudson Taylor just bossed them all around and told them what they need to do. That's exactly what he did not do. Hudson Taylor walked in the Spirit. He walked in these very truths. He let the peace of Christ, that kingdom that he was a part of, rule in his heart with others. In some ways, he was lifting others out of conflict, because he was walking in the reality of this truth. One of the other brothers, the other men, recorded this for us. And there was a difficulty. There had been a falling out with two other Christians that had been a part of the missionary society. And it had happened when Mr. Taylor was in England, and now he was back in China. So what would we do? Just don't even touch it, right? Don't even pursue it. One thing that deeply touched me at this time was Mr. Taylor's evident and intense longing to walk uprightly before God. He would go all lengths to do the right thing and put away misunderstandings. To put away misunderstandings. That could, right there, you can take that, brothers and sisters. Early this spring, when our troubles were at their height, meaning the troubles with some of the other missionaries, Brother Taylor was burdened about the lack of cordiality between ourselves and two former members of the mission who were still in Shanghai. There's still two brothers. These are true, redeemed, converted Christians there in Shanghai that Brother Hudson Taylor knew there was a falling out that had occurred. The trouble had arisen during one of Mr. Taylor's absences in England, but he could not leave it with simply, listen to this, Hudson Taylor could not say this, in quotes, they were wrong, and did what we could at the time. We do that, don't we? Oh, they were wrong. You know, that Mac Tomlinson, he was just wrong on that. I'm just going to leave it alone. He can get back from Mexico, we'll deal with other things, right? That's not what Hudson Taylor would do. That's not what we are to do. Wives to husbands, husbands to wives. You don't go burying things and walking away from things. If you're in Christ Jesus, you maintain peace. That's the God-honoring thing to do. Right? Is that not what this book is telling us? Is that what our great Savior showed us and lived out? He did. Here we go. Keep going. Mr. Taylor did not say, oh, they were wrong. We did what we could. No. Listen. He wrote a note saying he would be glad to call upon them and talk matters over. He put out an invitation to these men, to these two workers who had been a schism had set in. He greatly desired that any bitterness of feeling might be removed. On the 4th of March, I remember Brother Taylor spent a long evening with those men, going over the whole story. It must have been very painful, for their attitude was far from conciliatory. But it ended right. Four words. But it ended right. He was able to have prayer with them, and friendship was restored. Wow. Next statement by Brother Stevenson writing this. Oh, his was a life that stood looking into, searching through and through. Get a man like Mr. Taylor, and you can just start any mission tomorrow. You see, beloved, Brother Taylor was about preserving peace among God's people. It carries over to people in the world. The gospel is going to create enmity and hatred and rejection and people cutting you off. But we're talking about within Christ's kingdom and His people, this principle, this beautiful picture of peace should reign. It shouldn't just be in certain parts of the world. It's not just a social dynamic. It's not just in the South where people are supposed to be nice. Christian love and charity and peace should reign anywhere in the world at all times. It's just not limited by cultural differences. It shatters all that. It's greater than all that. Mr. Taylor, walking in that very truth. So first, the command which Paul gives us, which is to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let it regulate. Let it guard and keep us and control good things for us and how we relate to each other. But the second part, which is where he makes it clear it's corporate, he says, to the which also, or indeed, you are called in one body. I mean, to this end, that's what he's saying. To this purpose. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Why, Paul? Because this is what you were called into with one body. This is a part of what you are, who you are as a people. Called. Oh, magnificent language here. Paul's purpose or emphasis here is now on that we were gathered in, brought into this kingdom, called into this kingdom to represent what the great master of the kingdom is about. You were called into this kingdom. I mean, this peace that rules in your hearts together, it's not just some little private thing. It's not just some little clique thing. I do this with a few Christians. It's universal. It's one of the beautiful pictures you'll see with how many Christian men that Mac knows. Well, it's just through the years. I mean, Jeff's seen a lot of this. Lee's seen a lot. I've seen years of it. The Christian men that he knows that love him and admire him. Oftentimes, I'm just a spectator. But it's beautiful. It's very beautiful to behold. And I want to be more of that. More of that with each and every Christian. Have the right heart. Have a peaceful heart towards them. And Paul says, you're called into this. You were called into one body. You don't have the luxury of us four and no more. You can't have that mindset. You don't have the luxury of saying, you know, those other Christians, they're just kind of quirky. I'm just not going to be around them. You don't have that luxury. You better get that out of your mind. The Lord Jesus Christ does not treat any of His children that way. Ever. Never does He treat us that way. He doesn't have quirky ones, ones that I'm not going to hang out with or be with. He has one body, one people. That's what Paul's saying here. You're called into this. And so if peace is to regulate, it's because you're one people. We've already seen this theme a few other times as we've been in chapter 3. He's chosen you. He's called you to have a distinct relationship or a distinct community within all the gathered peoples of the world. Now that's shocking to secular writers and media experts, so-called. One people with that mindset? Yes, that should be their hearts. That is what they're called to. That's what they've been brought into. Paul says you're one body. You truly are united. There are no distinctions anymore. You're true brothers and sisters. We don't have ranks, and we've been over this. We don't have one group is here, another. We're all in one body. That's why peace within that one body is to be maintained. That's why it's to be given from brother to brother and sister to sister, and pastors and shepherds to the flock, and the flock to the pastors. It's to be lived out. It's to be real. It's to be authentic. It's to be the work of the Holy Spirit in His people, because we're one people. We're one body. Peace should unite us. Therefore, as I've already probably said, your Christianity is not a solo act. It's not a solo act. It's not, I'm out there and others are over there. It's, I'm here. We're transparent with each other. We're in this together. We are a body, one body, one united people, one joyful people. To use the theme, if God has great joy in Himself, and He has great joy in His creation, and He has great joy in His Son and His people, and He has great joy in us today, then can we not have joy and peace in these things with each other? Yes, we can. Can we ever? So Paul is saying, you're called into this one body, you're in a body that's to be at peace, and so maintain it. Do your part. Give yourself to this. Be about it. Be active. Put in effort to maintain peace or to preserve it. Notice one more phrase he uses, and I want to give some closing applications. Paul says at the end of verse 15, and be ye thankful. John MacArthur, why does he have that at the end of the sentence? It seems random. It does seem random. You say, wait a minute. But it's not random at all. What are we to be thankful about? We're in one body. What's the context? You have one family that you're a part of. Be thankful together. Not only just preserving peace, but be thankful for each other. That's what he's saying here. This is not just a little add-on that you take it and put it over on a separate memory board of things you're trying to hang on to. Paul's saying that then in this kingdom of peace and in this regulation of peace with each other, as you walk in it as one people, one body, be ye thankful. I cannot express to you how grateful I am to be able to meet with three other men that I love from the depths of my heart as fellow elders and abide with them in peace. I can promise you, we don't sit around and argue. We see things sometimes differently, and we talk and we help each other and we try to defer to each other. But if we can't live it there, how could we live it with you? How could we live it with anybody else? This thing of being, it's such a glorious thing to be brought into a people finally where there's peace. You'll just hear men, carnal men, big successful men, just say, I wish I could just go somewhere I could find some peace. Well, maybe you're part of the problem there, fella. Usually they are. Husbands, do you have peace in your home? Wives, do you have peace in your home? Brethren, do we have peace? When we gather tonight as men, are we going to be gathered with a heart for peace? Yeah, we are. That's what we're going to do. We're going to let the life of Hudson Taylor preach to us. We're going to let the Holy Spirit through him preach to us. We're going to be thankful. We're going to be joyful. We're going to be people who lift up our voices in giving thanks to God. Aren't you grateful to be united to other Christians? Have you ever thought of where you would be if you didn't have one another? One of the most beautiful things we would ever hear over the years could be many of you today or people in the past that have had a season of being with us here at Providence Chapel. But a beautiful thing to hear is when saints say, I love being part of a body here. It's just beautiful. They realize they ought to be thankful for the privilege, the high privilege to have one another. Oh, beloved, there are people, true Christians in all parts of the earth today, they can't find real fellowship. When we have it, we should be thankful, which should spur us on more in preserving it, maintaining it, cherishing it like a treasure, that we would not take it for granted. We would labor for it. Let me close with some applications. How are you doing in maintaining peace with others? I know with each of these sermons, I get to the end and I start making all of us uncomfortable. I kind of want to make us uncomfortable. Paul makes me uncomfortable. The Word of God makes you very uncomfortable at times, doesn't it? Oh, man. As my dad used to say when I was a little boy, not about refereeing, but he would say, our pastor, he would say, preacher, please preach to somebody else next week. I'm listening to my dad thinking, Dad, I think there were other people in the assembly. What he meant is, that hurt. That hurt in a good way. Let me ask you, are you maintaining peace? Blessed are the peacemakers. The Lord Jesus' command to preserve or keep peace among yourselves. How are you doing with your spouse? How are you doing with the brethren? How are you doing with others? Fair question. I've been going through the same questions. I think we all know we can grow more here, right? All of us. All of us could. Hudson Taylor never got to the point where he said, well, I've checked that one off the list. He kept walking with Christ, learning more of Him. And he had marvelous fruits of peacefulness and making peace with others. Beloved, it should be one of our chief concerns to maintain peace among ourselves. Right? It should be. It should be big to you. It should be big to me. It should be big to all of us. To maintain peace among ourselves. Jesus Christ and His glory is at stake. We dishonor Him if we don't strive for these things. He is the Prince of Peace that songs all over the world these next few weeks will declare. Why would we go around arguing and striving and sending ugly, painful emails or text messages to other Christians? Let it not be. Come on. No. And I'm not implying. I'm not checking everybody's email and everything. I don't have a Facebook account to go air out all my problems on. I'm not implying that. I'm just saying let the shoe fit where it fits. What are you doing? It should be one of your goals, truly, day after day, week after week, that the referee of peace helps you. Let me close with four areas and then I'll be done. You and I need to be vigilant to let peace rule in our interactions with each other. We need to be vigilant, conscious, mindful, always being aware. I need to labor. If Jesus said that I mean about things that keep peace among my relationships with brothers and sisters, then I need to do that. I need to do that as a husband. I can't take for granted the kindnesses of God through all these years. I have to excel even the more with loving my wife as Christ loved the church. Husbands, is that not what we've been called to? To walk in love and peace with our wives? I mean, all interactions with other Christians. I've left some of the men's times before, times even in the elders' meeting, and I thought, oh, Philip, there you go again. You said too much. Probably hurt guys' feelings. You shouldn't even have said those things. And I've had to go back. I've had to make things right. I've had to call Mac back more than once over the years and say, brother, I didn't have the right attitude on that. I mean, it's a precious thing to have peace with God's people. I mean, you're not just going to stroll along in the Christian life and it's just going to come easily as I won't have to do anything myself. Everybody else just have to be nice to me. You better check that one at the back door and get rid of that. You're going to have to labor for these things. You have to give yourself to these things. Wonderful marriages don't just happen. Wonderful brother-to-brother relationships don't just happen. You got to labor for these things. You got to walk in the Spirit. You got to be more like Jesus Christ. You get what I'm saying. Number two, you need to stop and check yourself if stress and conflict begins with others. If you feel it, I still have my vocational work that I'm about certain days. And sometimes I feel, every now and then I have to tell Krista, oh boy, I got a little fussy on this. And they laugh at me sometimes. And I'll say to them, hang on here, let's not get fussy about this. Let's take a high view of this. And they laugh. They realize Philip says things like that. But you've got to stop and check yourself if stress and conflict begins with others, or if it's in your marriage, or if it's in certain relationships with other brothers in the church. You need to stop, and you need to think about that. And you need to think, am I giving myself with the right heart to preserve peace with that person? Am I doing all that I can? Never have I said in this sermon, you have to throw truth out. It's not about compromising truth. You don't look at somebody and say, well, whether Jesus is really him or not, if he's really the great Messiah, we'll just set that aside. Let's just be buddies. I'm not saying that. You can't deny the faith. You've got to walk in the truth. That's a given. Y'all already understand that. But I'm talking about if stress and conflict is there, you need to ask yourself, what can I do to keep peace? Number three, I wanted to say this was probably mostly for the men. Joel, bear with me here, brother. You need to get rid of your personal victories. Now, I'm talking about men. We get caught up in this. We need to get rid of our personal victories and consider the Christ-honoring victory of unity with other Christians. Brothers, we don't have to win every argument. we don't have to be the big dog. Or is the Enron debacle, those evil men. We don't have to be the smartest guy in the room, for those of you who know that story. We don't have to be slick and wise and quote big things and try to win the day. I'm going to win the argument and lose peace. I mean, we're talking about the Son of God, deity, God becoming man, walking with us. Did he treat us, his men, like that? Personal victories. Be careful. Be careful. Moms, if God's given you grace, you've learned things in mothering, share it with the sisters to help them and share it in a way that preserves peace. Nobody's got the exact formula. None of you have the exact formula. Parenting is hard. It's a labor of love. It's a labor of faith, believing God for great things. We nurture them, we train them, we correct them. But we don't want to get puffed up in that. Most Christian parents, 10, 20, 40, 50 years into it, are not real puffed up, most. I'm sure Brother Spurgeon would say that, and Lloyd-Jones would have said that, and many others. You get my point. Personal victories, be careful. Be careful about that. The greater victory is preserving in a holy way peace with other Christians. And lastly, number four, you need to remember that our great Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Himself, kept perfectly from his side, peace with his men. They didn't understand him. They argued over who was going to be the top one. One of them was a cheat with the money bag. They're over there saying, how's he going to feed all those people? All these things happening. We're reading along in the Gospels, and the Lord Jesus is tender and patient and peaceful with them, correcting and bringing him to himself, letting him learn more of him, speaking to them of glorious things so that they would abide with him and him with them. If ever a man was about bringing people to him in peace, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's consider that day in, day out. And let's walk in the same together. Yes, let the peace of Jesus Christ referee all of us in unity, keeping us together. Amen. Let me pray. Father, you are so gracious in pouring out towards us salvation and rescuing us from enmity and making us children of peace. I think of so many statements, Paul saying we have peace with God. And the peace of God will rule in your hearts. These great phrases. But because you've done it, Lord, in us, you've commanded us to do it with each other. Thank you that these passages truly do come to us with great blazing reality and challenge and need. Lord, and probably today or this week, so many applications will be there for us. Couples going home today, or families, friendships, the men being together tonight. Lord, let peace rule in our hearts. Show us more of the beauty of this Christ-likeness. Let Providence Chapel be a people of, yes, great love and great peace with each other, that it would mark the Master's people. Help us, Lord. Glorify your name. Thank you. Amen.